Bibles this morning, Micah chapter 5.
If you're not sure where that is, try to look with somebody that knows. It's in the Old Testament. It's one of the minor prophets. Micah chapter 5, and this is where our text will be found. In verse 5, actually, Micah chapter 5 and verse 5. I'm going to read just the beginning of verse 5, and then we'll come back to it while you're trying to find it. Micah 5:5, it says, "And this man shall be the peace." And this man shall be the peace. If the context of Micah chapter 5 is talking about Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is called the peace. And we know that when Christ came, when he was born, the angels declared that there would be good tidings of great joy. And so there would be peace. There was, many people search for this. There was a wife, this is a funny story. There was a wife that called a doctor one morning saying, "Doctor, come quick, it's my husband." And the doctor quickly said, "Well, what's the matter?" And so she said, "Well, he got up this morning, he took his vitamin pill, then he took his appetite suppressant, then he took his antidepressant and his tranquilizer, then he took his antihistamine, and then he took Benzedrine, then he lit a cigarette, and there was a big explosion." I think sometimes we are all trying to take something to find peace, and maybe not in this auditorium, but you see that, especially at this time of the year. They say that at this time of the year, there are more suicides than at any other time of the year. And some of it is because I think some folks think that peace is going to come at this Christmas season. Some mystical, maybe fairy is going to come and sprinkle upon them some peace dust. But it doesn't happen. Because peace comes, as we're going to look at, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we're going to look at this idea this morning in Micah chapter 5. And if you'll bear with me, with my voice, just hang on there. I'll try to last as long as you can endure, okay? So Micah chapter 5 and verse 1. "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." And this is a verse that is often quoted. We quoted it in the Christmas program this morning, Micah 5:2. "But thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace. When the Assyrians shall come to our land, when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men." We're going to be speaking about the peace of Christmas. Can there really be peace on earth? You can hear it in some Christmas songs, especially in the world Christmas songs. They start singing about peace on earth. But since the beginning of recorded history, which is a little over 5,000 years, some people think it's longer than that, but really recorded, man's recorded history, written down history, it only goes back about a little over 5,000 years. The world has been an entirety, all of it together, has only been at peace for about 8%, those historians that have studied it. So if you think about that, over 5,000 years of recorded history, there's only been about 400 years that there has not been wars. Right now, it's not right here, but there are wars going on around our world. There are wars, continual wars. And so there's been over 8,000 treaties that have been broken in that 5,000 years of recorded history. So you'd say, man, that's a lot of war. That's a lot of non-peace, lack of peace. And that's just in the world. So what about my own personal life? What about personal peace and peace at home and peace at work? The prophet Micah lived between 725 and 710 BC. So that's before Christ. He came from the poor class of Israel, was acutely aware of the injustices of the rich. Micah explained that because of the sins of Israel, God had sent the Assyrian army as an arm of punishment. But he said this, there's still hope. There's still some hope. And following this time of discipline, God would send his blessing. And this blessing was the coming of a Messiah. This child proclaimed the prophet would be their peace. And remember Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, called him the Prince of Peace. And actually, if you go to Israel even today, and if you meet a Jewish person, guess what they greet you with? Shalom. What are they asking for? Peace. And it's sad that for many in the Jewish society, they're still searching for peace. When the Prince of Peace, guess what? He came. 2,000 years ago, the Prince of Peace came. Thomas Watson was a Puritan writer, and he said the following, God the Son is called the Prince of Peace. He came into the world with a song of peace. On earth, peace. He went out of this world with a legacy of peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Christ's earnest prayer was for peace. He also bled for peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He died not only to make peace between God and man, but between man and man. This morning, I'm going to look at this idea of Christmas peace. And may God help us as we look at Scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, I need your help. I need your help physically this morning with my voice. I pray that you would help it, strengthen it. But then, Lord, most importantly, I pray that you would give me sustaining grace to partake or take precious word of God. And Lord, bring it to the hearers this morning. I pray that you would do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at Christmas peace. So let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 will be in the New Testament, looking at a number of verses in the New Testament. Romans chapter 5, and then, if you find that, look at Ephesians chapter 2. But in Romans chapter 5, you find this word peace listed out in Romans chapter 5. Notice what it says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have, there's our word, peace with God. And guess who it's through? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is possible to have peace in our lives. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 13 through 17. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, notice by what? By the blood of Christ. For he, who's the he? In the context, it is Jesus Christ. Christ is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. So that word enmity means to be an enemy, to be at odds. All right, so in verse 15 when he says Christ, and abolished means to, basically he's destroyed. So Christ has destroyed in his flesh that which was at odds, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the Christ, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Notice a couple of times this idea of peace is brought to bear in the context to us through Christ. So in our outline, if you have the outline, our first point is peace comes through forgiveness. Only Christ offers that forgiveness. And this is something that is plaguing people all across the world. And it could be plaguing you this morning. This morning, it could be that you have a burden, and that burden is guilt. And you're just burdened down with guilt, and you try maybe all kinds of different things. I read an interesting article, I think it was either Thursday or Friday. I thought it was encouraging. But most people in America today, even today, and as selfish as our society is, about 70% of Americans say that Christmas brings joy because they give. Now think about that. That encouraged me. Because we live in kind of a self-centered society, a very selfish society, and yet a carnal, self-centered society has found out that giving brings joy. But sometimes what people do is they give. They give in order to appease some guilt that they have. Maybe you've done that. You've been mad at your spouse, or you said something silly or stupid. Maybe you did it with your kids, or maybe the kids, you've done it to your parents. And then you go out to the store and you buy, you know, a gift card or something. You're like, hey, I've been really stupid. All right? Well, keep being stupid. Just give me gifts, all right? But sometimes we do that, don't we? We try to appease that. Well, in the same way, sometimes because that guilt is on us, we try to appease it by giving. So maybe we'll give to a charity. You're going out to the grocery store and they're ringing the bell. And you're saying, oh, you know what? You know, this might make me feel better. And so we do that. But that is not going to take away that guilt of sin. What's going to take away that guilt? Forgiveness. Amen. And forgiveness is not from each other. It comes from Christ. And Christ, guess what he did? Peace comes through forgiveness because Christ on the cross made us nigh. He abolished or he broke down the odds or the enmity that was there. And what was the enmity? What was the odds? It was sin. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What type of peace does Christ bring? There was a man hundreds of years ago that gave an illustration of dreaming about coming to Christ. And he dreamed about coming to Christ, and Christ was there meeting this guy. And he looked up at Christ, and Christ says, I don't want your money. I don't want your possessions. The man then looked up in his dream, and he says, well, what do you want? And Christ, think about this. Christ said, I want your sins. Now think about that. That is what Scripture reveals to us. Christ took upon him our sins. And so then we truly can be at peace. Notice in the text here in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that Christ came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them were nigh. Isn't it amazing that we can have a relationship with God through Christ, and that can bring peace? Christmas peace comes through forgiveness. Then, I want to give a couple other ideas about peace. Notice in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read a couple of verses. Romans chapter 8, so peace comes through forgiveness. And true Christmas peace is through forgiveness. And true Christmas peace lives above circumstances. Look at Romans 8, 28. Notice it says in Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Then go later in the text in Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded, this is Paul writing, he says, I'm persuaded, I am confident of this, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. So in that context, what is he describing? The angels, but then he says principalities and powers. What is that describing? In the Bible, that is describing basically the realm of demonism. So notice what he says here. For neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, what can they do? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what gives me peace? Peace comes in forgiveness, and peace comes in understanding that this peace that I have through Christ is above any other circumstances. There's nothing, once I have settled this peace, there's nothing that can take it away. I'm forever settled with this in Christ. And that's where in this world, they're trying to find all kinds of answers and solutions. And they find it with alcohol, and they find it with drugs, and they find it maybe in immorality, or find it in some other relationship. And maybe you've tried that this morning. Maybe you've tried it over the last year or two, and you've used all your resources to try to gain peace. And yet you've never found it. It's empty. And then a circumstance comes in, and you may have a person that is saved, and they've testified, and you've seen them go through some hard things. You've seen them go through, horrific things, and it could be financial, it could be physical, and they have peace. And you'd say, how can they have that? Because the peace that God gives, nothing can take it away. I'm persuaded, I am confident that death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing can separate this peace that I have. And that's what's amazing. I have peace through forgiveness, and I have peace above circumstances. And then this peace is beyond understanding. If you turn to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read verse 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, and verse 6 and 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice what God says. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So there is a peace that comes through forgiveness, and that peace is above circumstances, and that peace is beyond understanding according to the Bible. It's beyond understanding. The peace that Christ brings into a life is a peace that is beyond understanding. And that's why sometimes, as a Christian, you'll come to somebody that is hurting, and you're trying to help them understand that Christ brings hope and Christ brings peace. And then they may get saved, and as they're going through life, at first they think that being saved means that all problems are going to go away and I'll never have a problem again. And we call that the prosperity gospel. And prosperity gospel, they're like, hey, everything's going to be okay. And then, as a new believer, something bad happens. And you say, well, I got saved for nothing. Like, no, that's a misunderstanding of Scripture. But then as you grow in the Lord and you start understanding and maturing in the Lord, as a problem comes into your life, and then right in the middle of that problem, a peace comes over you. As you spend time with the Lord, and as the Bible says, I go to Him in prayer, and I start understanding that the peace of God comes, and it passeth all understanding. That's peace that God can bring into your life. And it comes, first of all, by understanding the peace that God brought when His Son came as a baby in a manger. He came and He brought that peace, and that's why the angels could sing peace on earth. Why could they sing? Why is there peace on earth? Because that baby would go to a cross and He'd die on a cross, and He made us nigh unto Him through that forgiveness. You see, peace comes through forgiveness. Peace that is above circumstances, peace that is beyond understanding. And then in John 14 and 16, John 14 and 16, there's two verses that I'd like you to look at. John 14 and verse 27. John 14 and verse 27. Notice what it says. Peace. So this is Christ talking to His disciples. This is His last words that He's saying to His disciples before He heads to the cross. And notice what He says in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Then go to chapter 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have what? Peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So He does tell them, notice those that claim that there's not going to be any problems, He's talking to the disciples, and many of the disciples within a couple of decades would experience martyrdom. Some of them would. So He wasn't telling them that they wouldn't experience trouble on this world, but He says, you can have peace. It's amazing. It's a peace that is above circumstances. It's a peace beyond understanding. And it's a peace that is always available. Did you notice what Christ said in chapter 14? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And so as He was ascending in Acts chapter 1 up into heaven, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was given to His disciples. And when we accept Christ, when we accept His forgiveness, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, and one of His names is peace. And the Holy Spirit then is always available for us during hard times. During times when it doesn't make sense, during times when it seems that it's hopeless, during times when all seems lost, I have somebody that resides inside of me that can bring everlasting peace. That is what Christ offers you this morning. And I ask you then, have you accepted that gift that Christ offered, the gift of forgiveness? Maybe you've tried a lot of things on your own. Maybe you've tried going to church. Maybe you dropped in a gift today. Hey, thank you for that. Thank you for dropping a gift, but that's not going to cure you of that guilt. Maybe you tried to do some good deeds over the last week. Maybe you got with family over the past week and you said, you know what, I'm just going to do this. This will make me feel good. And you're trying to do things. Doing good, you know what, we should be about doing good. But doing good is not going to take care of that guilt. What's going to take care of the guilt? It's accepting Christ. Sacrifice. It's understanding that I need His forgiveness. And I have to come and I have to say, God, you know what? What I'm doing, it's not accomplishing anything. You see, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. It says that all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So all that I can put together, it doesn't amount to anything. It's worthless. There's been many stories that have been written and told around the song that was sung just earlier in our program, in the song service. It was number 85. It was the song Silent Night. One of the most popular is about the author of the song, Joseph Moore. Joseph Moore was a clergyman. He was 26 years of age. He was living in Salzburg, Austria. And Joseph's good friend, Franz Gruber, was the organist at the church. And he came to Joseph, and he said, the organ is down, and they always put together a special Christmas program. They put together a Christmas song. Well, the organist came and he said, the organ is down. I don't know what we're going to do. Joseph looked at Franz, his friend, and said, you know what? We'll figure something out. And so he later that day did some pastoral visits. And then on his way home, he climbed up into the mountaintops and he was looking out at the stars. And the starlit mountain sky, it reminded him of Luke chapter 2. Where it said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And he started thinking about the host of heaven coming. He ran home because all of a sudden in his mind, some words started coming to mind. And he started penning some words down. He caught his friend Franz Gruber the next morning and he told him, hey, I have these words. And he said, well, the organ's not working. He says, well, we got a guitar. And so he grabbed the guitar and he says, we only need three chords. And there in a mountaintop lit sky, the words, the song, Silent Night, were born. Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. 22 years later, that song would be sung for the King and Queen of Prussia. It would become one of the most popular songs to be sung at the Christmas season. What made him think about that? What made him the peace and a mountaintop view, looking out and thinking about a Christ child that would come, and what would he offer? Peace. And this morning, that's what I would like you to think about. Have you experienced Christmas peace? I'm not talking about, and I know at Christmas season, it can be a blur, can it be? A blur of activity with family and friends and doing different things and getting ready for this and getting ready for that and traveling here and there. But have you experienced true Christmas peace? It only comes through forgiveness in Christ our Lord. May you experience Christmas peace. One author wrote it this way: a song was heard at Christmas to wake the midnight sky, a Savior's birth and peace on earth. And praise to God on high. The angels sing at Christmas with all the host above, and still we sing the newborn King, his glory and his love. This morning, have you experienced that heavenly Christmas peace?